Neil Diamond, I am, I said. Sometimes people say, you listen to Neil Diamond, you're square. Well, if it's square, that's all right. I like it that way. The largest, brightest full moon in nearly seven decades will be on display in the coming days, promising Earthbound sky watchers a celestial supermoon spectacular. The full moon will come nearer to Earth than at any time since 1948, according to astronomers. At closest approach, which occurs at 6:23 a.m. Eastern on Monday, the moon will pass within 216,486 miles of Earth's surface, about 22,000 miles closer than average. The moon's distance from Earth varies because it's an egg-shaped, not circular, orbit around the planet. If skies are clear, the upcoming full moon will appear up to 14% bigger and 30% brighter than usual, making it what is called a super moon. According to NASA, a supermoon occurs when the timing of a full moon overlaps with the point in the moon's 28-day orbit that is closest to Earth. About every 14th full moon is a supermoon, according to University of Wisconsin astronomer Jim Lattice. The next time a full moon comes as close to Earth will be in 2034. So I hope you can all get out and enjoy it. That's Monday, 6:23 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Listen to my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, Sunday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern on Zoomer Radio here in Toronto. You can stream it online at zoomerradio.ca, also on my app, The Conspiracy Show app. It's a free download. And we've got about 30 affiliates throughout the United States. For a full list of affiliates, you can go to strangeplanet.ca, click on the radio page, and then go to the affiliates page. All right. Patty Greer. Well, her passion and dedication to the study of crop circles is unrivaled. She's standing by to reveal what is perhaps the final chapter, the closing argument in her case that crop circles are real. That's upcoming right here on Coast to Coast AM. Patty Greer is one of the most devoted crop circle filmmakers, researchers today. She's produced 8 documentary films in record time that received numerous prestigious awards. With no experience in filmmaking or ufology whatsoever, she became a contact experiencer in a 2007 UK crop circle. Everything in her life changed drastically that day, and she has since become a voice for the circle makers. Greer has visited more than 100 English crop circles personally and been enthralled with the phenomenon since 2006, returning to England in 2007, 2008, 10, 11, and 14. Her films include The Wake Up Call, Anybody Listening, UFOs, ETs, Abductees, and Brilliant Minds. 2012, We're Already in It, Crop Circle Update, The Wake Up Call, The Shift, let me be careful, The Shift Has Hit the Fan, Orbs and Light Beings, Women of Today, and her latest, and perhaps her final installment, Crop Circle Diaries. Patty Greer, welcome back to Coast AM. How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you so much. This is my favorite show to talk on. You got such an audience.
We are delighted to have you. You know, I might be wrong about this, but I don't hear outside of you, and you and I talk not only on this show, but on my weekly syndicated show. We've had lots of conversations. But other than you, I mean, I don't hear a lot of noise about crop circles these days. What's going on?
It's pretty amazing. It's so quiet that they even closed our research center at the epicenter of crop circle appearances. In Wiltshire, England, I mean, it is remarkable. But I don't blame nobody for wanting to do what I do. And had I had any idea that the suppression would be so incredibly wrong, to me it's wrong, I mean, my movie should be out everywhere, because I hear from people all the time, but I can't get on any of the platforms. It is the strangest, sewn up pile of crap. And there is something really heavy going on with crop circles that they would even somehow get our research center closed.
You mentioned the research center, the Silent Circle in England. And that's, as you say, it's at the epicenter of this whole phenomenon. When you say it's been closed, just spell it out for us. What's going on there? Are Men in Black shutting it down, or what's happening?
Well, it's interesting. It was run by a very unique man, Charles, and You know, every summer when I was there, he served the community. And researchers from all over the world would come into Wiltshire, and we had one regular place to go, which was the Silent Circle. And they had coffees and cakes, but mainly the map with pushpins of every crop circle that had arrived. And also we knew that all of our friends from around the world that were into crop circles would be there early in the morning. And if you were on the A list, you'd get a whisper from someone, hey, there's a new one over at Wilts, you know, and they'd throw out a name and we kind of cavalcade out and sneak away. So it's gone. And for the last couple of years, Charles would say things like, yeah, I'm going to write a book on what two-faced, blah, 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 a lot of the researchers are. And I was still a little slow to catch up on what he was seeing. But if you've got the research center, everybody wants to tell you their stories. And I always felt very lucky to be on his front line. He gave me the respect. But I also came back to him with a baggie and a spoon, and I said, look at this silver medal that I found in the middle of a crop circle. And he sent me back for more, and like a puppy, I was like, sure. And for me, I went there with no training. And so I was so innocent that I just did everything. Things that most girls would never do. Going to crop circle at night, I mean, I was out of my mind. I'm saying it now because I don't know if I'll ever do it again. But I'm really glad I did because the movies are that important.
Well, has access to crop circles been restricted? For example, is it if you were to go over there now and you wanted and you were in Wiltshire, would it be difficult for you to actually get to the crop circle? Would your journey be impeded by, I don't know, by a helicopter or someone in a black SUV?
I never saw black SUVs, but we did have helicopter bombardment that was extremely rude. And when you stated that I was there in 2006, 2007, 2008, 2010, 11, and 14, I skipped 2009 because of a particular helicopter bombardment on myself filming Patricia Corey in a crop circle. And it was 2008. I filmed three movies without even knowing what I was doing. I just had a camera, and everywhere I went, I filmed. And the people over there are pretty much fascinating because, to me, I think people that are into this phenomenon, they knew about 2012 and 2006, 7, and 8. They were talking about the things that in America we still barely know in England 10 years ago. So there's something very different about where I live. And, you know, I don't know about you and I in Canada and America. I'm not seeing a huge difference, but you get a lot of crop circles. America has had a lot of crop circles. We had an average of 20 a year from 2000 to 2006. I didn't hear of them in America except that regular farm in Tennessee. Why is the media hiding crop circles?
And why you've been described as the most hacked filmmaker in sort of this arena. Tell me a little bit about that. What's going on?
Well, YouTube, five hits trying to get me off YouTube. Amazon, 67 false ads of my products in seven countries created by 28 fraudulent stores. Millions of listings. I wrote them, threatened them. The next day they were gone. All of them were connected on the same date that these stores were created selling my products. I mean, my collection sets. Nobody has copyright permission. Complete copyright infringement. They changed my titles, fraudulent titles, across country lines, across the world. I've got eight items in Japan for sale. They're not me. So somebody has been on Amazon. They've got somebody backstage. There's a bad group of people that don't want the data to get out, and I guarantee they've got somebody backstage at Amazon, at Vimeo, at YouTube, at Coast to Coast. I mean,
let's be careful about that. I mean,
I love you guys, but all it takes is one person that's willing to.
Well, if that were true, you wouldn't be on the air with me. So
thank you. No, I'm very grateful, but. It's been an interesting week where all of a sudden my beautiful show with you got pulled off my website, just to mention. And I don't want to complain. I want to survive and be excited, but this is what's going on with just me. I'm not hearing it with other filmmakers. Why? Because I told the truth about crop circles.
Crop Circle Diaries, your eighth film, and you've hinted that this is your last, and I sort of kidded you the last time we spoke. This is a little bit like, to me, like, you know, Daniel Craig saying, this is my last James Bond, I'll never do another one. But why is this, do you think, going to be your last?
Well, it's only my last probably crop circle movie, because it answered all the big questions, in my opinion, that I've had, and I've been in a lot of crop circles. So what happened in 2008 with me and Patricia Corey in that crop circle was that a helicopter circled us for about 15, 20 minutes without leaving. And it was just she and I, middle of the day, sitting in the center. I was waiting to interview her, and this helicopter came down low enough to tie our hair in knots, and it just kept circling. And it circled with a black thing, double thing sticking out and a red light blinking in between. And I'm 20 feet from her holding a camera, and I said, they're here for you, babe. I'm not hanging out with you anymore. And of course, we threw this back and forth thinking, you know, let's keep our humor going. And I said, is this guns or cameras pointed at us? I'm just an innocent girl in a crop circle. So for me, I came in green as could be, Richard. I didn't come in to create some stir, but I did, for some reason, have a willingness to be listening when I had contact. And I think therein lies the difference between contactees that are doing the work for extraterrestrials and those that are almost using it for show or not really getting how important it is, their mission. So these movies were completely telepathically thrown through me. My website, pattygreer.net, you can see all the films. You can stream them any minute you want. But my first movie, I feel that I proved, without even meaning to, that crop circles were a real phenomena by finding a communication between two balls of light as they laid the crop circle down in seconds. Shocked the heck out of me.
So Crop Circle Diaries, then, we can, and we should point out that this is also available to viewers on PBS in Colorado, and they can, this started in August of this year and will be airing on PBS Colorado right through into, well into 2017. This is your closing argument.
Well, I love that statement. It's very interesting. I could say that the work that I did with Penny Kelly is my closing argument. This Crop Circle Diaries is not about me. It's an interesting weave of myself with my experiences in crop circles being brought together to meet the only woman who really worked with William Levengood for the last 16 years of his life in the lab and knew everything that he knew pretty much about the crop circle phenomenon. Nobody ever heard about her. She was humble. She was quiet. And in Crop Circle Diaries, I asked her straight up, why has nobody ever heard from you and of you? And her answer was, it wasn't about me. It was about the science. It was about the phenomenon. And Levengood was that loyal, too.
I'm guessing many Coast listeners aren't familiar with Levengood. Isaac Newton used to say that if I have seen further, it's because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. Would you consider the shoulders that you stood on belong to William Levengood?
Yes, and Penny Kelly. I give them both credit. I mean, he was the scientist, but she was equally important. And through her being alive and William Levengood being dead, he came and brought the two of us together the year after he passed. It really happened. People saw it. And again, I've just been kind of jaw hanging going, oh, my God, this is fun.
Well, tell us a little bit about who Levengood was and the work that he did.
Yes. William Levengood has been researching plants and soil and crops, and crop circles came in a little bit later, but since the 50s, and he passed away in 2013. He was in Michigan, and he had a lab where he did experiments. He actually received samples of the Roswell craft. and Penny Kelly worked on them with him. They received samples of trees that you could see the core where there was a UFO landing, and the lines between years were so much different, where they were farther apart and outside the place where the craft had landed. The lines were consistent with all the trees very close together year after year, but these ones near the landing site were really affected and expanded. So what we have with UFOs is physical evidence left, if you're lucky. But crop circles friggin' kill it, because there is so much physical evidence left behind. And I think this is what scares whoever's doing this to me, whoever somehow got the research center closed down, whoever is getting the media to certainly not talk about those couple of guys with boards and ropes over in England that made them, ignoring the fact that they happened in Italy, Argentina, and perhaps Belgium the same night. So if, in fact, it's those two old guys, who one of them's been dead for years, then they're traveling at the speed of light anyway, aren't they?
One would think. You're referring to the two British gentlemen who would strap boards to their feet and stomp around and create these crop circles. Back to Levengood, though, for a moment.
Levengood, yes. Now, his theory was so precise about crop circles, and it completely blew me out of the water. And Crop Circle Diaries, right in the beginning, explains how I met Penny Kelly, how William Levengood came back from the dead and introduced us, dangdest thing. But sure enough, when she and I got together, I barely wanted to leave. And then I had to come back a month later to take time, and that was at his wake. So as I started to understand their scientific theory, this is how William Levengood and Penny described crop circles. Now, all of us are pointing to the sky, or pointing to a couple guys with boards and ropes. Oh, my God. She had to tell me every morning at coffee while I was holding my head, saying, tell me again. Crop circles are coming out of the earth. They're not coming out of the sky.
Newsflash.
News bang. So the scientific theory behind crop circles is that there's a plasma vortex operating in the field. And a plasma vortex is like a whirling tornado of different kinds of energies. They found sometimes up to 10 different kinds. The plasma vortices typically traveled in counter-rotating pairs. And because they had different kinds of energies, such as microwave energies, which were, they would destroy the field, or ion electron avalanche energies, thermal gradients, collective stability, and there's other areas that are undergoing turbulence all the time. There's electrical fields, and all of those energies have very specific and distinct boundary conditions. And this is really interesting because they work together, sometimes with extraterrestrial frequencies, spinning into these vortices, sometimes with human consciousness spinning into the vortices, if perhaps a group of people are meditating and asking for a crop circle to be delivered that gives them a confirmation of something, which has happened to me twice, both documented in Crop Circle Diaries, with images of these crop circles. I mean, mind-boggling that people can bring a crop circle on. It helped to be sitting in the Avery Stone Circle in a sacred site on a ley line near where they appear. But it's been incredible to see that their theory appears to be real.
All right, we'll take a time out, Patty. When we come back, we'll delve further into Crop Circle. Crop Circle Diaries is her latest, perhaps final, offering, her closing argument on the crop circle phenomenon. Here are the Bangles, Walk Like an Egyptian, taking us into the break on Coast to Coast AM. We were talking about artificial intelligence a little earlier with Lieutenant Colonel Bob McGinnis. A robot in Germany has crushed the world record for solving a Rubik's Cube, accomplishing the task in an astounding 0.637 seconds. In that incredibly small time frame, the machine, known as Sub 1 Reloaded, captured initial images of the scrambled puzzle, determined the most efficient way to solve it, and instructed its robotic arms to carry out the task. Video of the record-breaking moment is somewhat breathtaking as the machine springs into action and solves the puzzle in the blink of an eye. And you can see that video. Our webmaster tonight, Sean Latasor, has posted it at coasttocoastam.com. I'm trying to think. I think I got my first Rubik's Cube back in 1982, and I'm still trying to figure out just how to get it out of the box. There's no risk that I'll be breaking that record whatsoever. Just a reminder, I will be back in the Coast to Coast AM air chair Sunday night into Monday morning. Documentary filmmaker Ali Siadatan will discuss his new documentary film, Goliath Rising, Nephilim, Hybrids, and Titans. And I'm excited about this one as well. Thomas Colbert has assembled a cold case squad consisting of former FBI agents and others. And he insists, he swears up and down, he has solved the D.B. Cooper case. Remember D.B. Cooper? 1971, this was back in the day when hijackings were, it was almost a weekly event. And Cooper demanded $100,000 to be delivered along with a parachute. After the plane landed, all of the passengers were let off. They took off again. He jumped out the back in his parachute or with his parachute. And $100,000 and was never seen from or heard from again. Well, Thomas Colbert will reveal the identity of D.B. Cooper and how also the details of how he cracked this case 45 years later. All right. Oh, a quick shout out to Howard Glassman and Fred Patterson. A couple of very talented gentlemen who host a program on Sirius XM channel 168. They've been very good to me. Had me on their program weekday mornings many times to promote what I'm doing on Coast and the Conspiracy Show. They're big Coast fans, and they've been very supportive. And just want to say to Humble and Fred, Howard Glassman, Fred Patterson, thanks, guys. Love you, and I hope you're enjoying the program. When we come back, more of my conversation with the Crop Circle gal, Patty Greer, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with filmmaker Patty Greer. The website is Patty Greer, P-A-T-T-Y, Greer, G-R-E-E-R.net. And you can view all of her eight documentary films on Crop Circles at the website. We should also point out that Crop Circle Diaries, her latest and perhaps last in the Crop Circle arena, can be viewed on PBS in the state of Colorado, well on into 2017. I want to come back to William Levengood for a moment, Patty, because I think this is important. You've talked about how you have been hacked, and there are shadowy figures out there who want to suppress the information on Crop Circles. But William Levengood, here's a guy that published peer-reviewed articles in scientific journals about, for example, how seeds that were located inside a crop circle produced greater yields than seeds outside the crop circle. Peer-reviewed articles on this, and yet, to this day, many people don't know who William Levengood is, and if you bring up his name in certain circles, they'll say, well, he's been discredited. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, they did a major hack on him and suppressed his technology. And what he did with technology was they measured the energy. When you've got a rotating vortice in a crop circle, it throws material because it's blowing. When you've got counter-rotating vortices, it throws material in opposite directions. So they measured the lay of the crop circle and the effect that it had on the wheat at the center, 10 feet out, 10 feet further, maybe 3 feet each time. But they measured it with a distance to see where the frequencies were higher, stronger, in which direction they were moving. What was interesting was when I met Stephen Greer in the middle of a crop circle in 2010, I took a photo of him holding two compasses in the middle of a crop circle. Richard, they were pointing north in opposite directions.
They were pointing north in opposite directions.
Counter-rotating energies still spinning in the crop circle that was laid a few days before, or perhaps the day before. But it was 2010. And it was a phenomenal moment when all the research just keeps coming together like puzzle pieces. And again, all of these are featured in Crop Circle Diaries. But I think the most important thing that I have discovered is that these balls of light that were filmed in the famous Oliver's Castle footage by a guy that kind of disappeared, or so they said, they found these two balls of light, laid a crop circle down in seconds, but this innocent girl, me, comes along, and through a telepathic communication, I found on that film a binary code right between the two balls of light before they laid the crop circle down in seconds. And I ended my first movie, The Wake-Up Call. Anybody listening? With that footage. I thought it was remarkable. I was so excited, and nobody noticed. So movie number four, I put it in the front of the movie three times. Crop Circle Update, The Wake-Up Call. It won all these awards at the International UFO Congress, best film, best music, but still, nobody noticed that there was a communication. Nobody's talking about it in the crop circle field. I don't know why. I mean, to me, it was proof positive. But the interesting thing is that I was given a option to use a clip from Bear Clouds movie. He's a Native American that Jim Dellatoso spoke to on camera. And he's sitting in front of a wall of gear, and he completely lays out the fact that this crop circle, Oliver's Castle, is absolutely real. And he laid it out incredibly well. And the funniest thing is somebody from France sent me footage of two balls of light laying a crop circle down that hardly anybody in the world has seen.
Yeah, think about that. You, in real time, we're seeing, and both of those clips are in the new documentary, correct?
Yeah.
So we have in real time footage of two orbs creating a crop circle in real time. I mean, you're seeing the crop circle lay down in real time.
Yes.
I mean, that's the Zapruder film times 100.
It's pretty incredible. So let's talk about what those balls of light are compared to the vortices that Levengood discovered. These vortices that are spinning, they come out of the Earth, counter-rotating, and they spin up to a particular, I imagine, velocity. Again, I'm not a physicist, but I'm going to tell you from what Penny told me that I listen to every morning, like pounding it into my head. She was like, seriously, you want me to tell you again? I said, this is too big for my brain. I've been pointing to the sky saying, thanks, guys, for 8 years. She totally threw me with this coming out of the Earth. So I realized, again, this is my perception, that when I walk in a crop circle, the hair goes up on my arm, goosebumps head to toe. I believe that those are a much higher electromagnetic field to affect me physically. And I turn around and look at the people behind me. They're just nodding with big eyes, huge goosebumps, hair standing up. So it's not just me. And I think those, in particular, have an extraterrestrial element to these spinning frequencies with all these different boundary conditions. Some of them, in my opinion, when the hair stands up, are higher frequency, higher dimensional additions to these spinning vortices. Now, when you get a group of people that are praying and then they ask for a crop circle and it appears, then you've got the element of human energy, frequencies, consciousness coming into this spin. So now you've got all these different layers of frequencies spinning together, and when they get to the predetermined message, the correct velocity, I will say, of spin, all the human will see, if you're lucky enough to be in the crop circle looking, is a ball of light. And then you see two balls of light because they're both counter-rotating, but when they get to that fevered pitch, they become visible balls of light rather than spinning frequencies. And they hit this moment of communication where they send the message to each other, I'm going to do this, you're going to do that, I think, and Penny agreed, and they lay the crop circle down in seconds. I believe I proved it's real in Crop Circle Diaries at pattygreer.net, and I can't even tell you how hard it's been to tolerate what I'm tolerating, and I don't like to focus there. I like to focus on how exciting the work is, but Levengood and Penny found that the seeds inside crop circles grew 30 to 70% more food and biofuel per seed, with up to 75% more nutrition per plant. That is going to help this world. And they did re-engineer the frequencies, they did re-engineer the technology, and figured out how to make it happen in the lab. And to me, this is one of the most important discoveries of crop circles, is that we can use the technology to enhance our food supply, which has been destroyed. And I'm guessing this wisdom that I have in these movies and the proof, positive, is why somebody's trying to get my work hidden. But I beg the world, see this movie, share it with your friends, because we need to bring our food supply back, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. But let me ask you, if the bioelectric, if I can use that term, bioelectric effect or plasma effect on seeds, whether we can take that one step further. You've been in over 100 crop circles. You've talked about some of the biological effects, at least on the surface, hair standing on end, goosebumps, and so forth. But has any studying been done on the bioelectric effects within the, I guess, the cellular, at the cellular level on the human body? I mean, it seems to be there is a regenerative effect going on here. Can crop circles heal?
Yes, absolutely. What we're working with, again, Penny and William Levingate brought it down by testing plants with magnets to realize that what we're dealing with is plasma. This is the basis of all energy. It's plasma. And plasma is the very top of the elemental spectrum of solids, liquids, gas, light, plasma. It's just so light and so the base. And what they discovered is that when you learn to measure plasma, then you can manipulate it. And when you learn to manipulate plasma, you can create or destroy anything. So this is really good, but it's also really dangerous in the wrong hands. And they experimented a lot. And the punchline was, Penny said, we can clean the ocean in a minute of radiation. Well, it'll take a day to set it up, but so basically it's flipping the frequencies of the plasma field, and plasma communicates instantly. And that's why we're finding that there's a lot of plasma energy in these crop circles. So when they started playing with the human body and they started playing with seeds, they realized that, yes, once you start to learn to measure and manipulate the plasma field, you can create perfect health.
Well, I know that you and I have talked about your mercury poisoning. And how that really ruined your career as a musician. You were a harpist.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe or do you know whether or not your mercury poisoning was in any way ameliorated or relieved by placing yourself inside a crop circle?
It didn't do the healing that I had gone to the crop circles for. But I was so distracted the first time I walked in one, and the hair went up and my eyes were huge. I almost forgot about what I was dealing with. But the interesting thing about mercury poisoning, which I was like basically over the 10 on the Richter scale and being lied to by my doctors, given the wrong blood test for 7 years. So I was cocked and locked with mercury. But I think there was something in it that helped me be incredibly communicative with those entities over there, because it was almost like I felt like I was a walking telecommunication tower. I wasn't talking with people a lot. I was listening in crop circles, getting up and filming movies. I didn't do any research for the films. It was all telepathic. And I think, again, that's what's different about my movies. I heard someone say, oh, she's so not Hollywood. Well, yeah, I'm totally organic, completely untrained. People said, don't say it out loud, but I called myself the accidental filmmaker the first few years. I mean, after I was in contact in a crop circle, 2007, Sugar Hill, I laid down, closed my eyes. When I opened my eyes, I saw things in the sky that were plasma. I saw things I'd never seen before. They were everywhere. My vision, my hearing was completely different. And for the next 2 years, I completed a full feature film every 6 months. I lost my social life. I lost my interest in everything. I was so focused on this phenomena, and I worked like a dog for the circle makers. And the films are so beautiful. I just need to get them out. And it's an interesting time to be me. And when you said, there's just nobody else doing it. Yeah, guess why?
PattyGreer.net. PattyGreer.net, and you can view all of her Crop Circle documentaries right there. We're coming up on a break in a few minutes, but I wanted to ask you. You said something to me very interesting, and that is, you know, there are hoaxes out there. There are crop circles that, you know, where people strap boards on the bottom of their feet and they have ropes and they go around and they stomp around. But you're saying, you told me, this is interesting, that in some of those cases where a hoax has been perpetrated,
yes,
there is some influence subconsciously on these people. Yes, they're strapping boards on their feet, but there's something going on subconsciously that they may not even be aware of. They're being influenced by the circle makers. They're using these people.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about that.
Well, I think you're absolutely right that some of these circle makers, much like myself, will have a dream. They'll wake up, they'll say, oh my God, I'm so brilliant. Look at this picture I drew while I was sleeping, you know? And then they'll go out and make it in a field with a couple of buddies. So yes, in 2014, I was in a crop circle in Dorset, England. I drove 3 hours because the formation was so stellar from the air. I brought a film crew. I took Sasha Stone in. We walked in. The hair did not stand up. No excitement. No goosebumps. I was like, oh, God, human made. Got to the back of the circle, met this group of people, put them on film, and I said, yeah, I think it's human made, but we are on a ley line between two sacred sites. We are sitting over an aquifer of water, so it's perhaps a real crop circle, but it feels human-made. Who are you ladies? And they said, we were meditating in the Avery Stone Circle yesterday, asking for a confirmation that our free energy device would be workable, and they showed me a photo of the QEG, quantum energy generator, and a photo of the crop circle from the air. It was almost an identical schematic. And they had asked for it the day before. Bang, it happened. I think a guy had a dream, brought his team out, and they laid the crop circle down. And there you go. The human element spun into the plasma spinning vortex.
And in some of these crop circles, which on the surface appear to be hoaxes, but also contain plants that have their nodes, blasted out like as if they've been microwaved. So it seems like there's a combination of man-made and whether it's a plasma vortex or these light orbs producing these. So there's a combination.
Mm-hmm. But Levengood said that where the wheat is bent, I mean, if you walk in a crop circle every 3 feet, if a board's been hit down on the ground, you're going to see broken wheat straight across for 3 feet. And then you step forward and they lay the board down again, so it's broken wheat. With that, the wheat dies, the corn dies. But when it's laid in a crop circle and the wheat actually boils, what the liquid inside the plant actually boils in a crop circle, and that's why it expands the node and elongates the node and blows out the node. We found all three of those atypical elements when it's a real crop circle. Much different than when it's broken and it kills the wheat. When it's bent in a crop circle, it continues to grow. And Levengood claimed that almost all crop circles were real.
All right, we're going to go into the break with the Shirelles, Baby, It's You, on the other side. We'll find out from Patty Greer what these agroglyphs, if you will, these crop circles, what are they trying to communicate to us? She's figured it out, and it's all documented in Crop Circle Diaries. Back with more with Patty Greer right here on Coast to Coast AM.